From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, June 25th. I'm Abby Larico. Some of the world's most elite athletes will compete in this year's Olympic and Paralympic Games in Paris, which open in a month. A St. Louis competitor is feeling the pressure as she prepares to be the first female wheelchair rugby player on Team USA.
If I'm going to get the attention for being a female on this team, I want to make sure it's because I'm a relevant contributor for this team. And oh yeah, she's a female.
I spoke with Sarah Adam about why she credits our local adaptive sports community with her journey to the Paralympics and what it means for her and her sport. That's coming up on The Gateway. A plan to forgive student loans for borrowers across the country is on hold after an order from a federal judge in St. Louis. The ruling released Monday is in response to a lawsuit Attorney General Andrew Bailey, on behalf of Missouri and six other states, filed against the Biden administration's SAVE plan. That's part of the most recent White House efforts to cancel and restructure education debt for millions of borrowers. The plan was set to go into effect July 1st, but the order from U.S. District Judge John Ross temporarily blocks the Department of Education from forgiving any loan balances. It coincides with a similar order a Kansas judge also issued yesterday. In the Missouri lawsuit, Bailey calls the plan an extraordinarily expensive example of presidential overreach. White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre issued a statement strongly disagreeing with the rulings and defending what she says will be continued efforts to repair the student loan system. The Archdiocese of St. Louis has released a long-awaited report detailing its history of enslaving black people. St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennecke reports church officials aim to acknowledge that past by uncovering the identities of enslaved people and those who purchased them.
In a report released under the Forgive Us Our Trespasses effort, church leaders acknowledge that bishops and clergy enslaved at least 99 people. By examining thousands of records in French, Latin, and English, researchers uncovered the identities of 12 more enslaved Africans since a 2021 report. They also discovered that the first three bishops of the archdiocese enslaved people. According to the report, beginning in 1827, the bishops purchased at least 46 people. Archdiocese officials released the second report during a procession Saturday aimed at remembering people killed during the transatlantic slave trade. The Archdiocese plans to release periodic updates as researchers compile new findings. I'm Lauren Brennecke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Fewer children in Missouri lived in high poverty areas in 2022 compared to before the pandemic, according to the latest Kids Count data. The annual Child Wellness Report said pandemic-era policies like the Child Tax Credit helped families cover their basic needs, but that support ended. Tracy Griever Rice is project director for Missouri Kids Count. She said families still feel burdened by costs like housing.
If a third of your working time is spent just covering those basics, what are you not able to do for your kids that you'd really like to be doing?
In Missouri, nearly a quarter of children live in households where families spend more than a third of their income on housing. The report also found 20% of students in Missouri were chronically absent in the 2021-2022 school year. Illinois is looking to expand its network of expressway cameras while also fending off a lawsuit accusing it of running an illegal system of dragnet surveillance. Capital News Illinois reports lawmakers allocated $7 million to expand the automated license plate reader program this year to at least six more counties, and as many as 18. That includes Madison County in the Metro East. But the Liberty Justice Center, a libertarian legal firm, filed suit over the program in Chicago federal court last month. It claims the monitoring program violates people's constitutional rights by monitoring them every day without any reasonable suspicion that they've committed a crime. State police this week said the program has helped it identify a suspect or witness in 82% of highway shootings this year, and shootings are down 42% since last year. Heat index values could top 105 degrees in much of our region today. Continued high temperatures this week could pose a variety of health risks. Brian Curtis is the vice president for medical specialties at OSF Healthcare. He says the focus during periods of extreme heat should be on prevention.
Making sure that you're hydrated prior to getting out into the weather, making sure that your clothing is appropriate, and then really trying to detail what your goal is when you go out into the weather and then why you're doing what you're doing.
Okay, some helpful reminders. If you have to be outside, Curtis recommends using a buddy system, dressing light, and wearing a hat and sunscreen. Be alert for symptoms of heat exhaustion, like profuse sweating, confusion, and muscle cramps. If you stop sweating, you may be experiencing heat stroke, and you need to call 911. During the school year, Sarah Adam is an assistant professor of occupational therapy at St. Louis University. But this summer, she's turning her studies toward Paris and the 2024 Paralympics. If you've never heard of wheelchair rugby, it might be hard to imagine what it sounds like. On a recent training morning in Maryland Heights, as Sarah Adam raced through obstacles and hurled ball passes and collided her chair into another, it sounded like a girl power playlist. With an occasional burst of heavy metal, Adam officially made the Team USA Paralympic roster this summer. Rookies are half the team, but she's the only woman.
As soon as they saw me take a hit or give a hit, I think they realized, all right, she's here to play.
If you've never seen wheelchair rugby, and you can only picture the game that's kind of like American football, wheelchair rugby isn't all that far off, at least in intensity. Two teams go 4-on-4 wheeling down a basketball court, working to get a ball across a goal line. In the Paralympics, players are quadriplegic.
So we have impairment in 3 out of our 4 limbs.
Like the other kind of rugby, though, physical contact is essential. The sport's nickname is Murder Ball.
The fact that it's full contact, and even like they're going in and reaching in with their arms and trying to grab the ball out of your lap and punch you in the face and whatnot, it kind of breaks down that stereotype of what people typically think of when you hear about a disabled athlete.
If you didn't know Adam's story, you might think she overcame an injury or a lifelong disability like many other adaptive sports athletes. Not quite. As an occupational therapist, she's a student of how the body works and helping people overcome possible challenges. So the first time she took the court, she was curious and considered able-bodied.
Really exciting to watch, but I loved learning about the chess match and the strategy and how do you utilize these people with disabilities in sport. And so absolutely fell in love with rugby and joining that community. And it wasn't until maybe a year and a half later that I started having symptoms of multiple sclerosis.
MS attacks the central nervous system and manifests in different ways, often causing mobility issues. Now Adam is in a wheelchair off the court too, and her condition is relapsing and remitting. Symptoms can be manageable one day and debilitating the next.
Little physical changes in my body can really set off some MS symptoms, and so I have to be really mindful of what's going on in my body, listen to it, take care of it.
And that makes even the most regimented training plans complicated.
As much as you kind of want to push that aside and not think about it, not understand that that's your reality, but we adjust how I'm playing and my role on that court depending on how my body's feeling, and we kind of do the same thing with day-to-day training.
If you think that means taking it easy,
seven.
Not even close.
Oh, go, go, go!
It's Murder Ball, remember? Here's her trainer, Brett Kelly.
We even specifically put in what we called our hell week to basically push her as hard as we could for a week and really see how that body recovers. And that would really give us data on how we can push her and how the coach can utilize her on the court as well.
She and her teammates are mostly preparing for Paris from afar, but Adam can see the high stakes from here. Team USA has always meddled in wheelchair rugby.
And I try to look at it more as that a motivator and an opportunity than letting some of those nerves creep in on what that really means and the pressures of it.
Then there's the pressure of living up to being the team's first woman.
It actually forced me to work harder. I was like, if I'm going to get the attention for being a female on this team, I want to make sure it's because I'm a relevant contributor for this team. And oh yeah, she's a female.
Adam knows she's part of something bigger happening with women in sports right now, that her success is teaching more people about what wheelchair rugby looks, feels, and sounds like. But she says she doesn't want to hear herself or her teammates called an inspiration because of their disabilities.
I think we're just out there competing and being an athlete and doing what we love and doing it at a high level. And I'm an elite athlete first. I have the disability second.
But she's always down to hear a good pump-up song.
I lose count when I'm singing.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. Paralympic wheelchair rugby competition starts August 28th. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.